Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of Databook. I'm your host, Jack Murtha.
And I'm your co-host, Tom Castles.
So before we dig into today's story, we want to humbly request that you subscribe, rate, and review this podcast if you like it.
And remember that Databook is a healthcare analytics news podcast. You can find us online at hcanews.com or on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, hca_news. We also have an email newsletter that you can sign up for on our website.
Now let's get started. Are you ready, Tom?
Ready as I'll ever be, because today we're bringing you a story that no one is really ready for.
It's a story about a harsh new truth, a powerful new threat facing healthcare and just about everything.
That's every industry, every government, every person.
It's a story about a new kind of war.
And this style of war, well, we don't totally know how deadly it is. We don't fully understand the carnage its weapons can sow.
All we know is this new kind of war, it's here to stay. And it's targeting healthcare, and just about no one knows how to defend against it.
This week on Databook, 1 year after the devastating WannaCry and NotPetya attacks, we're bringing you the story of the great new global threat.
Cyber warfare.
Okay, all right, so you might be thinking, what gives here, guys? Cyber warfare has been around for a long time, right?
And you wouldn't be totally wrong. Some experts even trace cyber warfare back to the worm attacks of the 1970s.
But it wasn't really until the mid-2000s.
Around 2008.
That hacking and malware and other cyber weapons began hitting governments in any sort of meaningful way.
And it wasn't until last year, 2017, that the world got a taste of what cyber warfare looked like. The human toll of coding that aims to destroy rather than create.
That was, of course, when the WannaCry and NotPetya cyber attacks infiltrated healthcare, shipping, and all sorts of other critical institutions. These very different but very devastating viruses caused hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in damages.
They crippled hospitals and canceled who knows how many patient appointments. They just caused chaos.
And in the upcoming issue of Healthcare Analytics News, we've got the inside story on how WannaCry and NotPetya changed everything for health systems. So for this podcast, we decided to tease you a bit and give you a taste of just what we're talking about.
And we owe a big thank you to Ryan Black. He is, as you may know, our assistant editor, and he reported and wrote this story. So we drew a lot from his work to make this episode possible.
But just before we go any further, let's take a step back to April 2017.
And it is a typical spring day. And this day will pretty much remain a typical spring day.
But what catches our eye is the publication of a study in the New England Journal of Medicine.
But this isn't just any study. It examines major urban marathons, as in foot races. And the authors take a look at how these big, long events affect emergency medicine.
The idea is that marathons often cause road closures and other headaches, making it difficult for the people who live near marathon routes to get the care that they need.
And it's a fairly novel study, and it has implications that extend way beyond marathons.
So think about it like this. On the most basic level, the researchers are asking, what happens when care is delayed? How does this affect outcomes? Does it hurt patients?
And what's so important about this study is that it is an attempt to quantify how much longer it takes for patients to get to the emergency department via ambulance when these big events are taking place.
So the researchers are looking at patients suffering heart attacks, and they find that these people take an average of 4 more minutes to get to the hospital.
And it turns out that these patients ultimately face higher 30-day mortality rates than other heart attack patients who were admitted on days when there was no marathon at all.
This finding, it's a pretty big deal. It means that small delays in care can lead to worse outcomes. It means that delays can contribute to death.
And in almost no time, health systems across the world will learn that they are always just one cyber attack away from bad delays in care. Now, here we are, a day after the publication of this study, and we bring you some seemingly unrelated news. A hacker group called the Shadow Brokers are making headlines because they just released an NSA exploit called Eternal Blue. And Eternal Blue essentially allows hackers to break into Windows operating systems.
A month later, another group of hackers uses Eternal Blue to spread what becomes known as WannaCry. It's an international ransomware attack.
And WannaCry especially hammers the UK's National Health Service hard.
It infects roughly 70,000 devices, from computers and MRI machines to blood storage equipment and other critical pieces of tech.
So WannaCry shuts down clinics, it defers ambulances, and it cancels about 20,000 medical appointments, including urgent referrals.
The thing is, no one knows how many lives WannaCry took. Experts are trying to figure that out.
What we do come to know is that WannaCry was unleashed by the North Korean government.
It was, by most accounts, an act of cyber warfare.
And this act of cyber warfare, it targeted healthcare.
So fast forward another month or so, and we get to late June 2017.
Boy, we know this timeline is dizzying, but this is why we are commemorating the one-year mark. So many things happened so quickly. So anyway, we have this guy named Satish Maripuri, and he's driving into work. He's an executive vice president for the IT company Nuance, which serves a whole bunch of healthcare providers in the United States.
He gets a text message from a colleague who says that something funky is going on.
It looks like Nuance might be dealing with a ransomware attack.
And 10 minutes later, Maripuri gets another text. Whatever's happening is, and I quote, a little more nefarious than normal.
So when he gets to work, he finds out that Nuance's networks are down. Email, desktop, IP phones, just about everything. It's a really serious situation.
Nuance serves thousands of healthcare organizations, and it doesn't want to contaminate their networks. So Nuance cuts connectivity to all of its clients.
Almost all of its 10,000 desktops and however many servers, they go dark.
At the same time, companies like Merck, Maersk, and FedEx are fighting the same exact problem.
This, my friends, is the cyber attack that we now know as NotPetya.
And just like with WannaCry, we know that NotPetya causes delays in care. We know that it hurts health systems big and small all over the country.
But even now, a year later, we still don't know how many patients NotPetya harmed.
We know it caused Nuance about $100 million in damage. It took nearly 2 months for the company to restore full functionality to all of its healthcare clients.
And we now know that NotPetya was yet another product of cyber warfare.
Although Maripuri and Nuance didn't realize it at the time, they were dealing with a weapon that Russia had launched at Ukraine.
The only problem was NotPetya escaped Ukraine very quickly and found its way to the US.
And American health systems found themselves collateral damage in a shadowy high-tech war. So that's only part of the story behind WannaCry, NotPetya, and this new age of cyber warfare.
We go a lot deeper in this month's edition of Healthcare Analytics News, so be sure to keep an eye out for that online and in your mailbox.
But that's not all. Today on Databook, we welcome Ryan Black, an assistant editor for our magazine.
So Ryan has spent months researching and writing our cover story on the cyber warfare threat. And today he's going to discuss what we're up against, what healthcare can do to strengthen its defenses, and what this all means.
So Ryan, welcome back to Databook.
Hey, thanks Jack and Tom. Always good to talk.
So to start things off, Ryan, what is the biggest takeaway of your upcoming cover story?
For me, I think it's the sheer magnitude of, you know, the ongoing cyber warfare operations and the threat they pose to the healthcare sphere. Quite frankly, it's no different than when the US was firebombing Tokyo during World War II. We most likely compromised a hospital too, and if not, probably some sort of supply chain entity in medicine there. It's the same thing going on just online. Countries are engaging in massive disruptive behaviors meant to undermine their international rivals economically through the internet, and hospitals just end up in the line of fire. And it isn't just hospitals. It's also, as we look at in the story, companies like Nuance, which provide important IT services to healthcare institutions, that can end up compromised and end up disrupting patient care down at local levels.
Ryan, this story is a big deal. How did you go about reporting it? How did you piece it all together?
It first sort of came about in this level. You know, everyone was sort of aware when NotPetya happened in the summer of 2017 that it might have stemmed from Russia, given the timing when it was unleashed and where it originated. It showed up first in Ukrainian tax filing software. But really, this whole story, bringing in WannaCry, came up when the U.S. government first attributed WannaCry to North Korea in late 2017. I reached out to a contact in cybersecurity in the government and ended up speaking with them for a long period of time. And they kind of opened up a number of lanes that we ended up traveling down and really realizing the scope and complexity of the situations behind it. And you know, reaching out to other sources, and then we ended up talking to Nuance itself, and one of the health systems in the Midwest that was affected when Nuance's services went down. So we really got kind of a holistic look at that situation from, you know, multiple perspectives.
So one of my favorite parts of the story is a quote from a source who is talking about the ultimate cyber attack. And this source says, that is WannaCry scale and NotPetya ferocity. What does that mean? And why should health systems fear this?
So WannaCry probably took more headlines just because it kind of brought the UK's National Health Service to its knees. NotPetya didn't create as much of probably a public stir, but it did affect major, major corporations like Merck, like Nuance, international shipping giant Maersk. And what it did to them was it went deep. It went very deep into their networks and locked up or destroyed countless files. It cost these companies hundreds of millions of dollars. So it was extremely complex, potent cyber weapon. So if you had something that had the blast radius that WannaCry did, but also had the destructive capacity that NotPetya did, that would be a very, very grave situation, not just in healthcare, but in any industry. And sort of there was a sense that with each of them, there was a bullet dodged because, you know, NotPetya had this colossal effect on the companies that it hit. But as widespread as it was, it could have gone further. And then WannaCry went extremely wide, but you could recover from it eventually.
So we know about WannaCry and NotPetya and the tools that they used. Which other new cyber weapons should we be looking out for? What's next?
Well, unfortunately, if we were able to say that, you know, off the top of our heads, we'd probably be making lots of money as cybersecurity consultants. But, you know, there's different types of threats that are always brewing. Obviously, these sorts of attacks, the ransomware-posed attacks that could compromise, you know, countless systems within a company, those are always going to be out there and always going to be a threat. But then there's, you know, other things that governments are capable of in cyber warfare that perhaps haven't been manifested yet. You know, you've seen botnet attacks where some bad actor will gather up a bunch of devices via the Internet of Things and have them all sort of launch a denial of service on a given network at one time. And, you know, you've seen those actually take down power grids, and they are capable of gathering themselves up against any form of infrastructure, really, and any network that is vulnerable to being having its operations halted by a massive number of devices trying to access its bandwidth. So there's kind of an evolving threat out there. And who knows what tool, you know, some government will brew up next.
What can health systems do, Ryan, to protect themselves from becoming either collateral damage or the intended target in this new game of cyber warfare?
There's obviously, you know, like the good basic cyber hygiene protocols where, you know, checking the edges of your network and making sure the outward facing devices aren't completely unsecured, keeping up with patching, which is extremely important and definitely came into play for things like WannaCry. You know, with an updated system, there's a chance that some of the effects of that could have been avoided. But other than that, in case the worst happens, it's good to actually have a plan and kind of have an order of operations and even a hierarchy of who does what in the case that something like this happens. So you know, there's plenty of good cybersecurity firms out there that'll consult with a health system and tell them, like, look, if you see, you know, ransomware infecting these systems, you might have to bring them down. And from there, here's the next step and the one after that. But really, when we talk to both the people at Purveya Health, you know, in the U.S. who were affected by Nuance's, you know, Nuance going down, but also Nuance itself, they both credited having a really good plan and acting very quickly. So outside of the common defenses and patching, good practices, good hygiene, just being ready for, you know, the worst case scenario, because it might come.
And Ryan, before we let you go, just to, again, drive home the importance of this, what type of consequences and challenges did the victims of WannaCry and NotPetya face?
Well, I mean, there were vastly, vastly different challenges. You know, in the case of WannaCry, it's widespread. It compromised tens of thousands of machines in the National Health Service in the UK. And for them, you know, the challenge that was faced was they were unable to deliver care in some scenarios. There were delayed appointments. You know, they had to, in cases, shut clinics down. And it took a little bit to recover. On the other hand, the case of NotPetya, the damages were, you know, while there obviously were financial damages, WannaCry, I don't want to understate that. I think the material damages coming out of NotPetya were somewhat mind-blowing. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars lost by Merck, Maersk, FedEx even, and Nuance even lost close to that nine-figure range. But besides just the money, there was the disruption. For Nuance, it took months to get all of their services back up to their healthcare clients. And for the healthcare clients on the ground, that meant, you know, a lot of them use Nuance's transcription services to document appointments. It meant fundamental changes in their workflow day to day. And then there's kind of this trickle down where, you know, there's no known quantified effect of it yet on patient care, but there's sort of a universal truth that delayed or degraded care can increase mortality rates. And there's sort of speculation out there that, you know, with all this disruption, one of the biggest providers of IT services to healthcare institutions in the country, that there might have actually been effects on patient health just so spread out across the country. You know, we can't quite quantify it at the moment.
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate all your hard work in this story.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Tom, that is another episode of Databook in the books.
And it is a mighty fine one, if I do say so myself, Jack. If you want more stories like this, head on over to hcanews.com.
And we know you want more stories like this, so you can also check us out on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, HCA_news. Keep up with us every day.
You can get us directly in your inbox once a day, however many times a day you want, every other day, with our newsletter.
And who doesn't want that?
Sign up for it on hcanews.com.
So, we also would like to hear from you about which healthcare apps you're using. What are the digital tools that are making a difference in your day to day? If you give us something good, we will write it up in the August edition of the magazine.
Let us know, folks.
So, come back next week when we have an episode about genealogy. And that's all I'm going to give you right now. But I will tell you that we have a pretty big name, too. Dr. Catherine Grady. So that's it. Again, enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, everybody.